Now, with respect to the final mystery of being, what is being? What is existence? The notion at that time, and it continues in India and China, is this: that no thought, no image, no word can describe the ultimate mystery of existence. Now, we are in the habit of saying, God is just, God is good, God is merciful. These are human virtues. According to the Oriental view, it is improper to ask that question. The mystery goes past such questions. These questions short-circuit the problem. It is absolutely unknowable. It is absolutely beyond depiction. So when my little Indian friend read the Bible and found God described all of his, well, one could almost say temper tantrums described, he didn't think this went very far. He couldn't find any reference past God. That's the point. From the Oriental standpoint, any image of God, any concept of God, any naming, any definition, is this side of the mystery. And so it cuts you short. Now the next point is this: that ultimate mystery, that ultimate being, which cannot be named, which cannot be defined, is the mystery of your being. You are it. All that you know about yourself is nothing. You cannot name the ultimate being and mystery of yourself any more than you can that of God. Because all this naming and talking has to do with your mind's experience of yourself. So as we say in more or less technical language, that mystery which transcends all speech, lies beyond all naming, is also imminent. It's right inside. It's inside of everything. The mystery of the being and existence of this glass of water is exactly the same as the mystery of the existence of the universe. So you can take anything and put a ring around it, and you can say, I don't know what this is. I have no idea. I know how to use it, but what is it? I know all its names, H2O and so forth. But what's that? What is hydrogen? What is oxygen? What's any of this? What's anything? You can contemplate this mystery. I have seen in India very simple people take a stone, put it down, put a red ring around it. You now look at it, you don't know its name. It's a mystery. You can worship anything this way. Now the goal of worship of this kind is to bring you through an experience to realize I am that mystery. It's right here. It's right there. It's anywhere you want it. There's a saying in the old Upanishad, you are that, you're it. It's like looking for your glasses when you're wearing them, to look for God. He's right inside. Consequently, all the deities that you see, these great pantheons of gods, we speak of them as polytheists. Of course, they have many, many gods. Because to have one God would limit the problem. Many gods give you a sense of the size of the mystery and your inability to get it. You can stand here, you can stand there, you can stand here. Always perspectives, different changes. But to fix on one from this standpoint is to get stuck in an image. And this is what, from the Oriental standpoint, is idolatry. To think that your God is God. You read in the Bible where it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There's another kind of fool that says there is a God. That's the one I worship. This brings a little bit of humility in. It brings an attitude of graceful relationship in. Just as you wouldn't dare to say, no one can be a human being unless he's the kind of human being I am, so it would be even more impudent to say, I'm speaking from the standpoint of these people, to say, I know the definitions of God, and I'm going to tell you about them.